Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I certainly hope you had a very Merry Christmas. I hope it was an uplifting weekend for you and an enjoyable weekend and even a restful weekend. Certainly was for me and the Noble family. It was good to have all our kids back together. You know, those days begin to, they start to like fade away as your kids start to get older. And our oldest is just 21. Hayden's 21. Amelia's 18. Clay, it's 15, and Caroline turns 12 today. Happy birthday, Caroline. I love you. And excited to be celebrating with her today. So, you know, we still bring them all home, but you can see on the horizon, not too distant horizon, the day when as they get married and things like that, then all of a sudden, it's sometimes with your family, sometimes with the other family, and things just start to change, don't they? And, it's interesting to start to come into that season. When I'm the last of four kids, so I didn't really, you know, I kind of went through all that. All three of my older siblings getting married, and after they went off to college, and I was the one left at home, and things just changed. But that's the wonderful thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ. Despite the things around you changing, despite the conditions of the world changing, the government changing, the culture changing, the weather changing, your body changing, your memory changing, that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we read in the book of Hebrews. And so that's an awesome thing that kind of holds firm. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, hey, build your house on the rock, not on the sand. On the sand, stuff comes, the storm comes, the waves come, the wind comes, and your house gets destroyed, except when it's built on the rock. So that's always a wonderful thing about being a follower of Jesus Christ, is the buffeting comes and goes, the seasons comes and go, but Jesus Christ is standing solid right there all the time. Anyway, I hope you had a great Christmas, and Merry Christmas to you. Early Happy New Year. And a little bit different today, because on some of the markets we're in, there's some end-of-the-year football stuff going on and ACC football stuff going on, so we're not talking to all the people that we're normally talking to, but I am talking to you. And that makes the show just as important as it always is. Some things going on here at the end of the year, and I'll mention this throughout the rest of the week. We did Call to Worship back in November, which was an awesome night. God moving in a wonderful way once again through the praise and the worship, through the testimony. Walt Heyer, of course, sharing, and then I did an on-stage interview with my buddy, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., of course, on my friend from Black and White Day. We're getting ready to schedule a bunch of those out for the new year. And it was a great night. Where the only shortfall of that night is financially it wasn't as beneficial or bountiful, whatever word you want to use, which, you know, that was a part of the evening. But certainly the main point of the evening is just to sacrifice, give the whole thing to God and give him glory and just listen and be a part of the worship. And so that was awesome anyway. You fight and you scrape and you have faith that God provides, and he always does, but we need to turn around and ask every once in a while. So today we just started, we being me, started sending out all kinds of electronic media and things on Facebook and stuff to ask people to consider helping Call to Action Radio Ministry, which costs, basically, it costs about $150 a day to kind of a broadcast day, to pull the whole thing together between syndication costs and production costs and website maintenance and some social media stuff. There's some costs in there that are built into doing this, 5 days a week across the course of the year. So we, occasionally ask people to prayerfully consider, coming underneath and behind and helping to lift up this ministry. 2017 looking to be a very interesting year as we're going to kind of reorganize and get ourselves prepared for a much more serious effort to grow the show, which requires a lot more donations and partnership, financial partnership, but we need to get the organization itself ready for that. So hopefully be working with a friend of mine who helps not-for-profits. We've started to pull together a strategic plan for next year, and we've got a lot going on starting next month and building up the Facebook page so we can access more people on the digital side of the world. So really excited about all that, but just a couple things just to remind you what all has been going on here with Call to Action Radio and what it's all about. You know, we're on 17 stations now across six states, speaking to thousands of people every day. And the thing that's really interesting to remember about that, and I'm going to get to some other stories today, by the way. And then we'll have our good friend David Fisher will call in with a little Money Monday update on a Tuesday since we were all off yesterday. But I actually, speak to more people, every week than most pastors do across America. When I say most pastors, I'm talking probably 80% plus. Because did you know, an interesting piece of church trivia here, the average church in America is still less than 100 people. We've got about 350,000 quote-unquote churches across the country, and the average size, right around 94 people. Well, I speak to thousands of people every day. I don't know the exact number. That's the Lord's deal. But, you know, it's significant because we play at different times and different markets. Again, like I said, 17 stations across six states. So we reach more people, and God reaches more people through this show on a daily basis than the vast majority of pastors every week. So do individually. So, you know, it's something to consider, to remember the reach of the show, the impact of the show. And yes, of course, I pray that it would grow and be much bigger. I would, if God were to allow me to be like a Rush Limbaugh of Christian radio, that would be awesome. But it's his show. It's his money. It's his time. I'm his tool, so he can do with it whatever he wishes. But just as a way to remind you, and if you do want to donate, we're set up like a church, 501c3, the radio ministry itself. So if you go to our website, c2atoday.com, and hit the donate button, you'll land on a little page where you can make a donation. Like, for example, this segment of the show, if you donated about $38, you'd cover the cost for one segment of the show. Or a whole show is about $150. Per day, or an entire week, $750 if the Lord has blessed you that way, or an entire month, about $3,000. We have some other costs here and there, but that's really what it breaks down to in terms of the actual radio show itself. So if you have been ministered to, challenged, encouraged, even entertained by Call to Action Radio over the course of days or weeks or months, or some of you even it's been years, I would ask you, humbly ask you, to consider whether you might support the ministry with a financial donation. And you can do that a one-time thing or an ongoing thing, $10 a month. We have several people that do $10 a month and $20 a month, and some people do more. And I tell you what, every time that stuff comes through on an email, it's such an encouragement to me. Like the Lord is saying, hey, Steve, I've got you. Keep going. Keep doing what I've called you to do. So a few more interesting things to consider as we look at whether you might donate to the Call to Action Radio Ministry. I do want to talk about what happened the other day in the UN with respect to Israel. Israel has had a really bad year coming from the UN, and America has become one of her biggest problems. I think that's about to change. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas on Sunday. Looking forward to a new year and a fun weekend. Hopefully not, you know, fun in a devil-honoring kind of way. But, you know, it's amazing that, you know, if you're following the Lord and like, you're not a big drinker, you have a glass of wine or a beer, I'm not going to get all down your throat. But, you know, you can we not have a blast and laugh and tell jokes and have fun and be followers of Jesus Christ too? Oftentimes, I mean, I thought this way before I became a Christian, and maybe after I was born again in 1994, thinking, well, there you, it's over. RIP, fun. The fun is dead now. But, you know, I mean, I've had a blast as a follower of Jesus Christ and with my friends that love the Lord and are walking with God imperfectly, all of us. But, you know, honestly, and trying to move forward in our walk with the Lord, and it can be a blast. So let's make sure when we're telling people about our faith and sharing our faith that we kind of dispel that notion that, hey, you know, it's a cosmic killjoy, and all we're gonna I must memorize two books of the Bible once a month, and da 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 da. No, I mean, that's awesome and everything, but you're not under the law once you become a follower of Jesus Christ, and you have great freedom and liberty not to abuse it. But there's great joy in following Jesus Christ. So let's make sure we don't play the stick in the mud role that a lot of the people in the culture who don't know Jesus think we play. So let's lighten up, and especially this time of year when we have a great platform, let's be joyful. Speaking of rest in peace, Carrie Fisher today, you might not have heard this, she had a heart attack a few days ago on a plane on her way back, just probably sitting in first class or whatever, on her way back from London or Great Britain. And, you know, it looked like, based on what they were saying in the media, that she was at least stable and somewhat in a recovery mode. But sad to hear that I think earlier today she died, just 60 years of age. Of course, Princess Leia, you probably know. I'm a big Star Wars fan. Most of the members of my family, my immediate family, my wife and kids, are big Star Wars fans and big Star Wars geeks. If you want to call us that, that's fine. But it is interesting if you go back to 1977 when I think Carrie Fisher was just 19 at the time. That was really, for Princess Leia, who just kind of took over the screen, just this, you know, at times tough, brash heroine, and other times, you know, with Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and all that stuff, you know, kind of the softer side. But, man, a huge character in a major blockbuster movie. And, of course, she was in last year's Force Awakens. She's going to be in the next one, which will show up a year from now, Episode 8. And I think I asked my Star Wars aficionado son just earlier today if they finished principal photography in that, and they have. So you'll see her again next year in Episode 8, the next installment of the Star Wars saga. But, yeah, really sad, 60 years of age, so young, which is a reminder of all of us. You know, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And the Bible tells us we need to, you know, take account of our days. And in the book of James, our life is like a mist. It's here one moment and then it's gone another. So especially when it comes to our relationships and the people that we love, and even with broken relationships, let's make sure that we're not waiting till tomorrow to mend relationships, to tell people we love them, to give a hug, to give encouragement to people, to maybe mend a fence and ask forgiveness or forgive somebody. Let's make sure we're not waiting too long, because again, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So every time somebody famous like that or somebody that I know of dies, it always makes me kind of take stock of my own life. So Carrie Fisher dead today at the age of 60. So I was talking a little bit earlier, and I'm going to keep bringing this up during the week, just about asking you to prayerfully consider whether you might support Call to Action financially here at the end of the year. Go to the website c2atoday.com. It's just C2A, as in Call to Action, c2atoday.com. Hit the donate button and you'll get up a page there. We're a tax-deductible organization, just like you're giving money to your church. So here at the end of the year, you'll be able to deduct that from your taxes. But just another reminder that, you know, we have an opportunity. God's given us this platform, 17 stations now across six states, and we're reaching more people on a daily basis than the vast majority of pastors do every week across the country. I don't say that in a braggadocious way. I approach this mic every day with fear and trembling as I attempt to handle the Word of God and represent Him well. I just say it to remind you, and perhaps for the first time, to give some consideration to the fact that this is a significant platform that reaches thousands of people every week. And 20 to 30% of Christian radio listeners are unchurched, which could be you. Hey, it's a safe place. It's a place where there's no pressure, really. And so we do have an impact. Another thing that most people don't know about is that with various guests and ministry leaders and stuff, just in the last couple years alone, last 2 years that I know of, over $200,000 has been given to ministries that we've had on the show. And so that's another way that God uses this, and to help with events and to help with ministries and volunteers and raising money. And on the money side, $200,000, which is, we've never raised even $100,000 in a single year. I think the most Call to Action's ever raised is about $65,000 in a single year, yet God has used the last 2 years, and this is just what I know of that God's allowed me to see, over $200,000 by people coming onto the show. So he's using it in a lot of different ways. Of course, trying to equip the body of Christ in you by speaking the truth in love about a lot of different issues. I get emails and Facebook notes quite often about, hey, you know, thanks for challenging me. I never really looked at this situation this way, especially in the political realm, where we tend to, all of us tend to struggle with being a little bit over the top. We certainly can pound the desk with truth, but we lack a lot of grace. Many of us do. And so, you know, God uses it that way. And you may not know this, if you want to share the gospel with somebody, you know, and I share the gospel pretty regularly here on the show. I feel the pressure of having to do fresh content every day and things like that, but try to get back to the gospel as often as possible. But if you're one that wants to, you know, hey, okay, so what's the whole born again thing, Steve? What's that all about? Again, go to our website, c2atoday.com, and you can use, if you're a believer, and you want to share the gospel electronically with, in a really effective way, if you go to our website, which is just c2atoday.com, you just jump over there. And if you go, and this is kind of, I'm in an end of the year mode here. If you go over there And on the homepage at c2atoday.com, there's a little button with a circle around it at the top of the page that says heaven. Now, if you click on heaven, I'm just describing to you what I'm looking at right now on the webpage. Heaven. Most people long for it and hope for it. Okay, there's a beautiful picture there underneath that says heaven is a loaded word. Most people long for it and hope for it, but will they actually experience it? Will you? And then it says you can, but only if you know the way. And then there's a great short film there that some friends have put together. The story short film, which is based on a little gospel presentation that you can use in paper form or as an app on your phone, which is about 7 minutes. A beautiful front to back story of the gospel throughout the pages of scripture. And then it explains through the scriptures right here on the page. Okay, what's the deal with becoming a Christian? What does the scripture say about it? I've been a pretty good person, Steve. I give money to the church. I go to the church regularly. I believe in God. And all those things are nice, but none of those things qualify you to become a child of God. I know that we like to say popularly that we're all God's children. In a very general way, that's true if you're talking about we're all made in God's image. But if you're going to talk truth in terms of what God has revealed to us in the Bible says that we're not all God's children, only those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not your works, not your good efforts, not your decency, but all about Jesus's righteousness and holiness. And you put all your faith into him. That's when you become, as the Bible says, born again. And then you become a child of God. You're adopted in. So all that information's there on the homepage, c2atoday.com. Click on the button heaven. Now what? What do you do next? And then our friends at Harvest Christian Fellowship, Pastor Greg Laurie, will provide you a free start Bible with notes from Pastor Greg. What do I do now that I want to follow Christ? As well as some other resources. So God's using Call to Action in a lot of different ways. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. So the other day, I want to touch on this, and this will continue to unfold. And will really be changing as of January 20th. It's going to be fascinating to watch what happens between the United States and Israel and the rest of the world. Because 2016 has been a terrible year for Israel, especially when it comes to the UN and especially when it comes to the United States. There's been this ongoing feud, which has been sometimes above the water, but mostly below the water, with Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu and the United States and the UN and Israel, and just most recently, of course, with this resolution that we could have voted because it was in the Security Council. Our representative to the UN could have voted. This was coming down on Israel about the settlements, saying, okay, no more settlements. You got to put all this stuff to bed and stop this stuff. It's terrible. That was what the resolution was all about. And so, and then it looks like, and actually Israel is threatening, saying that, hey, you know what? We have some pretty rock solid evidence that Obama orchestrated the UN resolution. So the UN resolution was all about coming down on Israel about the settlements, right? And quote unquote Palestinian territory. So you've got this whole thing going on, and the U.S. abstained from the vote. This is in the Security Council. The U.S. abstains from the vote. We could have come in and shut the whole thing down, but we didn't. We abstained. Well, who does the United States ambassador to the U.N. report to? Well, he's a part of the executive branch. He reports to the President of the United States. So Obama, here's another article I found, Obama betrays Israel. As a result, Israel feels abandoned by her closest ally, the United States. And the United Nations, whose president admits extreme anti-Israel bias, is not the U.S. It is not the U.S. that tried to prevent a vote declaring Jerusalem's holy sites are not Jewish. It was Egypt that asked to defer the vote. Egypt was God's instrument to save the baby Jesus when Joseph fled there with Mary and their infant son after the visit by the Magi. This is an article written by Michael Evans. The parents had learned that King Herod intended to kill the infants of that area. Once again, Barack Obama refused to have the moral clarity to act in Israel's best interest. The resolution passed by a vote of 14-0. The United States abstained rather than vetoing the proposition. Do you understand the implication of a vote stating that Jerusalem is not for Jews? It means that now, just before Christmas, the Temple Mount has no relationship to Christianity. And on this article goes. And even people like Schumer, incoming Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who's a Democrat from New York, Voices Outrage said it was extremely frustrating, disappointing, and confounding that the administration has failed to veto this resolution. Whatever one's views are on settlements, the UN is a wrong forum to settle these issues. The UN has been fervently an anti-Israel body since the days of Zionism is racism, and unfortunately that fervor has never diminished, Schumer said in a statement. Knowing this, past administrations, both Democrat and Republican, have protected Israel from the vagaries of the biased institution. He's talking about the UN. Unfortunately, this administration has not followed in that path, and its actions will move us further from peace in the Middle East, said Schumer, who is a strong supporter of Israel and who also criticized the Obama administration's Iranian nuclear deal as a threat to Israel. So he wasn't alone. A bunch of other people, Senator Joe Manchin from Virginia, slammed away. Senator Mark Warner, another Democrat from Virginia, slammed away. Senator Richard Blumenthal, another Democrat from Vermont, were all speaking out. Of course, Representative Tom Cole is a Republican from Oklahoma. On and on and on it goes. And again, Israel saying, under Netanyahu, saying, hey, we've got some pretty solid evidence that Obama orchestrated this whole thing. So that's what happens. And that happened just the other day. Another story here from Fox News. UN resolution is one of dozens of rebukes against Israel in 2016, which brings us to probably the number one story of 2016, which is Donald Trump. So Donald Trump, who already has said that, hey, we're going to move our embassy to Jerusalem, which is rattling all kinds of cages. He was taking kind of a neutral stance before, but he isn't now. So he's planning to move our embassy to Jerusalem, which has an interesting, if you're big on eschatology, end times theology, an interesting slant there because, you know, Israel, it's been prophesied, is going to be a stumbling block for all kinds of nations, right? A cup that brings dizziness to all the surrounding nations. That's from Zechariah 12:2. And so Trump, though, who's been kind of neutral on it during the, especially during the primary, is losing that neutrality, wants to make that really bold move to move our embassy to Jerusalem, which solidifies America saying, hey, we're behind Israel. We believe that Jerusalem shouldn't be divided. It should be all Israeli. And this is going to get very, very interesting. And then Donald Trump said some pretty tough things about the UN. Now, he's got a mixed bag there. A little bit like he does with Planned Parenthood. With Planned Parenthood, Donald Trump has said, hey, well, they do some good things, but the abortion thing over here, you know, that's bad. You know, because Donald Trump just on the moral issues is not, you know, solid because it just hasn't been something that he's dealt with or apparently cared much about over the years that we've known Donald Trump. But to the UN, he's like, you know, it could be a good place. They could do some good things. But right now it's just a place where people get together and have a good time. And it's kind of pathetic. And he's rattled the saber about defunding. Or cutting our funding back. We are a majority funder of the United Nations, which is a joke on any number of levels. So I think this is where you're going to see Donald Trump, who's no respecter of public opinion, especially when it comes from the media. And when people try to push him, this is how I was when I was a kid and probably a little bit still today. If you wanted me to go over that way to the left or whatever, I would my rebellious nature would go to the opposite direction. You want me to play football? I'm going to play soccer. You want me to play piano? I'm going to play trumpet. You want me to go over here? I'm going to go over there. Because I just didn't respond well to influence. Now, usually I responded well to authority. But when other people that didn't, if I didn't think they had authority and they're trying to influence me, I would normally go in the opposite direction just to, you know, kind of take my stand. And I think there's a little bit of that in Donald Trump. So when the world pushes back on him and says, oh, you can't do this about Jerusalem or you can't do this about Israel, Donald Trump bows up because I think this is part of his ego. And, you know, and I think this is the Donald Trump battle cry. I'll do whatever I darn well want to do. And especially once he's the president of the United States, now that can also be a very scary thing, I'll give you that. But when it comes to Israel, this is going to be very interesting. When it comes to the UN, just like he's rattling sabers with Boeing, saying, hey, you know, maybe we need to be more competitive with this F-35 fighter program because we're getting ripped off here. And maybe we're getting ripped off with the Air Force One. And maybe we're getting ripped off with these limousines. And maybe we're getting ripped off all over the place because I guarantee you Donald Trump, as a CEO, like a lot of other CEOs, hopefully most successful CEOs, won't stand still when they're getting ripped off. They, especially with public companies, for him being private, the bottom line, it's profit. Profit drives it. So I'm not going to allow my company to get ripped off by a bad deal. So that's the kind of mentality that Donald Trump's going to bring into the White House on January 20th, just a few weeks from now. And on the Israel front, it's going to get very interesting to see what happens there. And we're going to see some really sharp lines drawn on a number of issues, not only here in America, but around the world, as Donald Trump assumes leadership as the president of the United States. And I've said this before, and just as a reminder, it's actually not a great thing that the president of the United States can have this much impact, both nationally and internationally. Our founding fathers never intended for our federal government to have a de facto king who could step up to the plate in media, social media, Twitter, and affect the stock market, affect the price of, like, Boeing's stock price, and their stock valuation plummeted when he was hammering away on Boeing. And the president of the United States, quite simply, should not be that powerful. That was never, and it's now I'm gonna challenge you to check yourself on this one, because it's like, hey, as long as it's our guy, then we're okay with a stringent use of power. But as soon as it's the other guy, the other team, no, this is an abuse of power. Remember, if we're gonna be intellectually honest, especially as followers of Christ, we have to call foul regardless of what team is committing the foul. So it's your duty and it's my duty not just to pray for Donald Trump in the incoming administration and all of our leaders. Go to pray1tim2.org and pick your state, and you can get an email every day like I do that gives you some legislators at the federal level and mostly at the state level that you can pray for every day. It's a great ministry by my friend Jim Young, Capital Commission. Pray 1 Tim 2. That's from 1 Timothy chapter 2, praying for those in authority over us, .org, and sign up. So absolutely we need to pray for him, but we need to hold his feet to the fire. We need to speak up with it's your friend here, your friend there at the water fountain in your neighborhood, in your small group, wherever, and question all use of power in the United States and in our government, both at the federal level and the local level and the state level. That's part of our job as citizens, to hold our elected officials accountable, even when it's the guy you like. So, Mike Carbone, my buddy at Truth Radio in North Carolina. French newspaper reporting via tweet that Kerry is prepping a document to recognize Palestine as a state prior to January 20th. Isn't that lovely? Golly. These guys, and I think for most of these liberals, the progressives like Obama and Kerry, I think, the playbook that America is a bully and a colonial power that's abused other nations around the world, I think they believe that. We need to be brought down and humbled and brought down to a level like everybody else. And I think they see Israel that way. Israel, tiny little country, not a lot of natural resources of their own. Incredibly, one of the most prosperous countries per person on the planet. And they've been rock solid with conservatives for a while. Well, they're just bullies, right? They need to be put in their place. Such a little country with a nuclear arsenal, yada, yada, yada. They're the bullies, just like they think the United States of America is the bully. We'll see what happens post January 20th. That's going to be really interesting. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Hope you had a very Merry Christmas, a meaningful weekend. Just this past weekend, we're back live today. I'll be live through the end of the week next Monday as we move into 2017, which is a shocker. off on Monday, but live again on Tuesday. And we'll have our buddy David Fisher on for the full hour next Tuesday after the beginning of the year, as we do the first Monday, usually the first Monday every month. But, of course, we have to bump it a day because of the new year. So we're going to do that next week. And appropriately, Rebel Rebel, I dropped that in there because some people like to claim that I'm a rebel. I don't know that we can say that David Fisher is a rebel, but in his heart, in some way, like spiritually, David, of course, we were all rebels before. And then we come into a union with Christ, and then that kind of takes care of that part of it. But you do seem like a guy that kind of likes to buck the system a little bit. Or am I wrong there, David Fisher of Landmark Capital?
No, not at all. You know, the scripture says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent men and women take it by force. So we all have to have that little bit of rebelness in us.
Yeah, especially when it comes to dealing with the world. I'm getting a little feedback in the background there, David. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone.
Yeah, I'm getting the same thing. It's coming back in my ears here.
Okay, well, we'll ask our buddy Howard to check on that there at the board in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But anyway, I hope you had a great Merry Christmas. Did you and your wife and your family have a good one?
Oh, excellent, excellent. Lots of food, lots of laughing, sharing stories and celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus.
Yeah, amen. That's awesome. Well, let's go across the pond as we always do on our Money Monday update. Again, we're talking to David Fisher of Landmark Capital. Landmarkgold.com is the website, same as always, for incredible information and education, which is what David does and helps us out every Monday here on Call to Action Radio and has for quite a while. Or their phone number, 844-879-8882, and some great white papers, informational, educational things that we'll talk to you about later on in this segment as we close out the show. But we're back across the pond again. The European Central Bank, Deutsche Bank, and of course the oldest bank in the world. Things continue to move quickly in Europe. So what do we need to know about that today?
Well, actually, you know, we've reported a lot of bad news, and now I get to report some good news in reference to these two banks. We got to tell both sides of the story. That's part of the being truth in the gospel.
Amen.
So Deutsche Bank actually had it finally settled their $14.1 billion settlement with the Department of Justice for $7.2 billion.
Wow,
and
cut it in half.
They cut it in half. They thought they were going to get around $5 billion because they really only have about $5 billion of assets of liquid money on hand. They'll be able to raise the other extra through the increase that they had in the third quarter profits that they'll translate into actual earnings. But the good news along with that is the European Central Bank lowered the required minimum of balances on banks to $4 billion. This, if they wouldn't have done this, and this came in right after the settlement, ironically,
yeah.
They wouldn't have done that, Deutsche Bank still would have been in trouble. So short term and possibly long term, looks like Deutsche Bank made it through the biggest challenges. And Monte Paschi, the oldest bank in the world, didn't get what they wanted. They were going to hopefully sell about $5 billion worth of assets to get up to that $5 billion threshold, which actually became $4 billion. But what happened instead, it looks like the Italian government is going to come to the rescue here in the last hour of the year and give them around $20 billion, $21 billion U.S. dollars, €20 billion euros to prop up the books of Monte Paschi so it wouldn't do a bail-in.
Yeah, and Italy itself, not exactly in great financial shape. So when we hear these headlines and you tell us about these things, David, is this, to me, it sounds a little bit like we're putting band-aids on amputated arms and we just continue to play the game of the governments and the banking system trying to make itself look more healthy than it actually is. Or am I just being too cynical as a talk radio guy?
You're not being cynical at all. You know, the bottom line is a company, and in this instance, a bank should stand on its own 2 feet. If it makes a bad loan, it should be able to service that bad loan. Banks have not done very good in doing that, so we put a Band-Aid on it. That's what happened. The country came to the rescue. We did the same thing in America. We bailed out AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and they paid back the taxpayer over time, and they're still paying some of that back. So hopefully it'll work, but it did go on the taxpayer's back, and hopefully it will get paid back to the taxpayer of the Italian citizens there. But it is definitely a Band-Aid.
Yeah, and we have to keep watching that. And again, why does the European banking system and what happens on the other side of the Atlantic, why does that matter to us as American investors? Why do we pay attention to that?
We're in a global economy. We're in systemic banking. In other words, when one bank of magnitude goes under or is in trouble, it affects the rest of the banks or could cause a major financial collapse. So this is what happened in 2008. It was a U.S. problem, which became a global problem because we live in an interconnected global financial society. They call it systemic risk.
Yeah, so we can't simply think on a domestic level anymore. The world is much too complicated for that. Well, last week when you were on, David, and again, we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, LandmarkGold.com. We were talking about kind of the four different main markets that you watch in your business, the Dow, the dollar, interest rates, and gold. So what's going on with those since we talked last about a week ago?
Well, Interest rates are about the same. I'm watching the 10-year note, which is at 2.5%. Ironically, before Trump was elected, it was under 2%. So that's a big rise in that. The dollar, excuse me, has gone up. It's about 103 points on the dollar index, which relates to six currencies of the world besides the dollar. The Dow is just right below 20,000. Actually, it moved up just a little bit today. It's 19,968 points. Gold actually has the biggest movement going on today in all the markets. So, you know, gold has had, we're going to talk next week about the bad press that gold has gotten and the misunderstanding. We're also going to talk about the misunderstanding that people are saying about stocks a little more in depth than we're going to talk about today. So make sure everybody tunes in. I'm going to talk about the Dow and gold and the relationship in depth. But that's what's happening. I call it the Trump Euphoria Index, which is the Dow going up, the dollar going up, interest rates going up, and gold being negative of that going down. Actually, gold is up today, the best, so I guess the Trump Euphoria Index is down.
Yeah, and that's just a reality that we have to deal with right now, and we'll see how long it lasts. I mean, I think that's normal with an incoming administration and with people being hopeful, and he's certainly made some big statements and big promises. We'll see if it amounts to anything. I think it's definitely going to be a mixed bag. We've talked about that before. Well, back to the Dow. I mean, it's really, and we talked about this last week, if you go look at, like, November 4th, where it was just at 17,888, and today, you know, 50 or so shy of 20,000. Really amazing to see how much it's jumped since then. Do you think we'll hit 20,000? And does it really matter whether we do or not?
There's a lot of headwind because the more that we keep talking about the Dow at 20,000, the Dow at 20,000, I'll say it a few more times, and it gets said dozens of times every day on financial news, the more resistance it actually creates. So, yes, we're going to hit it. It should hit it this year. I'm surprised it hasn't. But there's been also a lot of sell-off going on in the Dow, stocks of repositioning. But the Dow is at it's at 19,945. I just had my ticker screen flash across my TV here. So it's going to hit 20, just like gold will hit 1,500, gold will hit 2,000. All the prices of the indexes are going to go higher because we have a devaluation going on in our currency.
Yeah, and so what do we do in terms of a mix as we look forward into 2017? Because, you know, everybody would like to think that this will continue, but oftentimes we're not really thinking in terms of, well, the next kind of cliff that most financial sources that I'm reading and paying attention to are like, yep, we're going to have another market correction like we did back in 2008. There have been many, many market corrections over the years, and it's just like, hey, you know, some winters are going to be colder than others. Should we be kind of thinking this eventually is going to happen and we need to prepare ourselves for it?
I think it's going to happen. The more I'm reading and watching and listening discovering, it's going to happen first quarter next year, more than likely. The Dow will correct. It's going to happen. It's just how much will it correct, and the severity of it. So, yeah, be prepared for a correction. It will happen for sure in 2017, as what most analysts are saying.
Well, I'm going to go back through because the three different white papers that you've made available to the Call to Action radio audience, David, are very important. So I want to cover back through those as we finish up here the last couple of minutes, because it's really important for people, again, to get educated and to get informed so that you can make wise decisions with the finances that the Lord has placed into your care, custody, and control. And again, all these you can get available at landmarkgold.com. The website is always landmarkgold.com or by calling David's firm at 844-879-8882. So we have the 10 Common Mistakes white paper, we have the bail-in white paper, and then we have the IRA white paper. So take us through all three of those, if you would, please.
The 10 Common Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing, you know, Physical Precious Metals is something that I put together over a couple decades of experience learning what people have done to make, you know, not good, healthy, educated decisions and the mistakes that people make. And so I list those plus three extra on what is done in IRA, some mistakes that are done in reference to physical metals. So that helps a lot of people do the right thing for themselves. The private storage on precious metals in an IRA is easy as 1, 2, 3. It's really simple. And then I have the bail-in report, which is talks about how the government wants to seize our money.
Well, I need to, and everybody, again, that's at landmarkgold.com, landmarkgold.com or 844-879-8882. I do want to add this as we finish up here, David. David first started talking to me and educating me about the bail-in, which I hadn't heard of before. And then about 6 to 9 months later, now I hear it all over the place on conservative talk radio. The same thing is true with an IRA and having precious metals in your IRA and actually taking possession of it. David, you were the first one to tell me about it. I didn't hear about that anywhere else. And all of a sudden, 6 to 9 months later, I'm hearing it all over conservative talk radio. So we thank you for your vision and for your wisdom and bringing that to Call to Action every week, David. It's been a great blessing.
God bless you and your listeners, Steve.
All right, pal. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Friends, this is Steve Noble of Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again tomorrow.